The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What Old Testament books are must-read for Free Grace believers? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, I'm in the studio, back in the studio with Bob on this bright, sunny
day. What studio?
Wonderful studio. We're going to be in here for another 5 years. I'm looking at the ceiling, and I don't know if the ceiling will last another 5 years, but here we are, taking your questions, getting to talk about the Bible and theology. I love these questions. Some of them are easy, some of them are hard. Here's a really easy one.
Okay? Even the ones that you say are really easy, after I answer it, you make it hard.
Well, you
so
can dig,
it's going to be hard.
You can always make an easy question hard, I think.
Yeah, you will.
It takes a talent. This is a question from John Paul. Which Old Testament books are a must-read for Free Grace believers? Which,
wow.
I mean, you know, all of them, but a must-read, what would you say?
Well, that's a very good question. As you said, all of them, but if I was going to prioritize, I would say certainly Genesis is vital because Genesis has links with the entire New Testament, and you really cannot fully understand the New Testament without a grasp of Genesis.
Yeah.
So I would say Genesis is absolutely vital. I would say probably the Psalms, because the Psalms come up so much in the New Testament, and the Psalms are so pivotal in their wisdom literature, and I think they're very, very important.
I mean, the Psalms help express emotions that you don't know how to express. They show you how to pray. They show you how to struggle with God. They have tons of messianic promises implied in them.
Oh, yes, a lot
and
of prophecy.
And so it's like the hymn book of Israel, and it can it can be kind of like your hymn book, too. So I would agree the Psalms are right there.
And I would probably say the Minor Prophets. The Minor Prophets are the last 12 books of the New Testament.
The Minor Prophets, really? Okay, why?
And they're called minor because they're shorter.
Okay.
And the reason why is there is much messianic prophecy there. There is much prophecy about the coming kingdom there, and they are short, and they are quoted a fair amount in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist is predicted there, although probably in the tribulation it'll be someone else, maybe Elijah himself, that precedes the coming of the Lord. But I think the Minor Prophets are very important. Now, of course, I would say the Major Prophets too, but the problem is, you know, they're so huge, that it would be easier for a person to become well-grounded in the Minor Prophets. Now, of course, you could say the same thing about Genesis. There's 50 chapters. But what I would say about Genesis is there's a lot of narrative literature. It's easier to read.
It's a story that, you know, it's just easy. Yeah, but the Minor Prophets are these, you know, images, metaphors, prophetic language, and it can be hard to decipher.
Right. So I would certainly see that as vital as well. And then probably either 1st and 2nd Samuel or 1st and 2nd Chronicles.
Mm.
You want to learn about the history of Israel, and you want to learn about David.
Yeah.
And so probably one of those in the Hebrew Bible, it's just Samuel or Chronicles. You know, they're not going to divide 1st and 2nd Chronicles.
Right.
Probably one of those combinations would be vitally important as well. But it's hard because all of it's scripture.
Yeah.
All of it's profitable. I also love Jonah and Ruth. There's so many important lessons in those books.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to just do a few, definitely Genesis would be at the top of my list.
Yeah.
And probably Psalms 2nd. And probably 3rd would be the Minor Prophets.
Okay, interesting. Here's my list. I would say, definitely Genesis. That sets up the whole story.
Right.
It sets up everything. And I would also agree with the Psalms. The Psalms just helps you. We don't know how to worship well. And just reading the Psalms just helps you to learn how to worship well. But here's where I'd go next. I'd go with Ruth because what I like about Ruth, I was always turned off by it because it was like a lady book of the Bible, you know, and I didn't want to read it. But then I had a family, you know, I got married and I had a family, and I realized what Ruth is about. Ruth is happening during this extremely tumultuous time in Israel's history, the period of the judges. And there's wars and there's heroes and there's deaths and there's all kinds of crazy things happening. And yet for some reason, God has this whole book about this, basically this widowed old lady and her daughter-in-law and her attempts to get her daughter-in-law remarried.
Right.
And for some reason, that's important to God. To me, what that tells you is it gives three pretty ordinary people just trying to love each other. That's the kind of life I live. You know, I'm not a hero of a war. I'm not a king. The fate of nations doesn't lay on my shoulders.
That's a great point. And Boaz is her kinsman redeemer.
Right.
And kinsman redeemer ultimately is a messianic concept.
So it becomes like a picture of Christ. So you have this.
And Ruth marries Boaz and becomes the grandparents of David.
Of David, and ultimately an ancestor of Jesus.
In the line of Messiah.
So it's like, so it's just this little picture of how important it is to God that we just love each other in the situations.
Yeah, I think Ruth would be very important.
I like Ruth. But I also love Daniel.
Oh, I should have mentioned Daniel, because even though it's one of the major prophets, it's relatively short, 12 chapters, and extremely powerful.
So
I'm going to include Daniel.
So we're going to agree on it. So, and here's why I'd say Daniel is important, because the first half is just about how to be faithful to God in a pagan culture.
Right.
It's just a story. It's Daniel's story. And I find that extremely powerful because that's the position we're in. You know, we're born-again people in a foreign culture.
A pagan culture,
you know, how do we live? How do we live faithfully to God? But then the second half of Daniel is just powerful prophetic timeline for Messiah's arrival and all the events that are going to happen in the future with the 70 weeks. If you can understand those 70 weeks, biblical prophecy really gets, you know, the big chunks of it get really clear.
That's Daniel 9, 24 to 27. And yes, that's very, very important. And by the way, even in the early chapters, you have some of the visions, like Nebuchadnezzar's visions, which explain the four coming kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the four kingdoms. He's going to be followed by the Medo-Persian Empire, then that's going to be followed by the Greek Empire, and that's going to be followed by the Roman Empire. And even though they're not identified by those names, what we read about them makes it clear that's the case.
Yeah.
And even in the book of Revelation, what you find is that the two rulers that come, one out of the land and one out of the sea, the beast and the false prophet, they're part of the revived Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And so Daniel tells us there's really only going to be five major kingdoms. And the fifth major kingdom will be the kingdom of the Messiah.
Right.
It's interesting, the book of Revelation ties right in with the book of Daniel.
Oh, and Olivet Discourse. Daniel, Jesus' Olivet Discourse in
Matthew
Revelation.
Matthew 24 and 25, he even mentions the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of in Daniel.
So those three things are connected. If you can read those three things together, you'll have a great idea of the future. But here's a different, even different way to answer this question. You reminded me of it once about what Zane Hodges would do. Zane Hodges would emphasize the Old Testament stories.
Right.
He'd begin there. So maybe one way to answer this question is don't look at books, but maybe pay attention to certain characters and look at their stories.
Right.
You know, we should all know the story of Abraham. We should all know the story of David, the struggles he went through. You know, you could approach the Old Testament in terms of that instead of a book. Look at the life of a hero of the faith and just learn from their experiences.
Right. No, that's a good point. In fact, the book of Genesis, your first 11 chapters are basically we have the creation, we have the fall, we have the flood, and then we have Babel, the spreading of the nations. Then we get a man,
mm-hmm.
Abraham, and basically the rest of the book from 12 through 50 is about four men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we're looking at the 12 sons of Jacob, and we're looking at Ishmael and Isaac, and we're looking at Jacob and Esau. So there's more people than just those four.
Yeah.
But the point is, those are the four key people.
So you can look at the Old Testament through the lens of these characters. The life of David is more than just one book. He said, I mean, who are some important people that we can learn from? Abraham, Moses, David.
Absolutely. Aaron, of course, is interesting in many ways for some of the bad things he did, but also some of the good things he did. I remember I preached a series on that, but someone like Samson.
Yeah.
Well, Samson was a very flawed judge, but God did use him.
Right.
And he did come around at the end and was instrumental in delivering Israel.
Right.
You have a lot of real fascinating people in the Old Testament all the way through. There, you know, I think of Ichabod because the glory has departed.
Mm-hmm.
You hear anybody named Ichabod today?
Not very often. No, no.
And then you've got Ahab, and what's his wife's name? Jezebel.
Mm.
She's a terrible queen,
right.
And idolater, and pagan, basically, within the royal court. And not too many people name their daughter Jezebel today.
Yeah. One way to answer that question, I guess, John Paul, is to say, well, what is your situation in life? If you're suffering and you don't know why, you might want to read about Job, you know, and all the bad answers that his friends gave him, and then the kind of like a non-answer he gets at the end, just trust God, because God knows way more than Job, I guess, is kind of the...
Now, Job's a fantastic book, but I wouldn't put it in one of the must-reads because it's a difficult, very
difficult
book.
It's difficult.
Or, same thing with Proverbs or Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
They're more difficult, and so I probably... Although a lot could be said for Proverbs because they're so meaty,
right.
And you can get a lot out of them even if you don't understand the overall
structure. But you can get the little nuggets
right.
of wisdom there.
Another way to look at John Paul's question is this. If we're looking at the key books to give us a solid foundation, then they're what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But if you're going through a particular issue right now, maybe suffering, then maybe Job would be for you. You'd have to learn more about it. You know, if you've got some particular issue, well, then certain books are going to appeal to you. But
right.
as far as the basic foundation, Genesis...
Mm-hmm.
Psalms,
mm-hmm.
I like Daniel, the minor prophets, Ruth,
mm-hmm.
maybe Jonah, a few others. Those would be foundational books.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would bring in the rest depending on your circumstances, what issues you're facing.
Yeah.
These other books are all scriptures profitable, but it's not all equally profitable. So you're going to have some bias as to what you think is more important. And talk to your local pastor, John Paul. He may have a different list.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Bob. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Join us tomorrow as we talk about bearing fruit. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.